Welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. We're thankful for your presence here today as we seek to worship together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's start our time off together as we are gathered, as we should, as the church, to go ahead and put your hands in the air if you have anything you'd like to share with us, any prayer requests, any moments of joy, something you'd like us to be aware of and on your side for the working of God in your life. Anything this week? I know we have a certain moment of praise. Didi, I talked to you last week about that. We did have enough people that stayed after service last week. As we can see, the decor from Advent is down and completed, so we're thankful for that and those folks that stayed after last week. So we're thankful for those moments of praise. Anyone else? No? Okay. Does anyone have any announcements that aren't printed in the worship order? We do have one. It is printed, but I just wanted to go over it again. And next week, please plan on staying over for the soup challenge and dessert auction right after the service. So be ready for that. And sometimes, I've heard sometimes in the past that people said we don't have...
What? It's today.
Oh, is it today? All right, it's today. It's today.
Oops.
Okay, yeah, okay. Well, that changes the announcement, doesn't it? Okay. You do? Okay. So today, please plan on staying after for that. And it's an interesting moment because even if you might not have planned on staying today, the desserts are really great, and it's an opportunity for us to celebrate and in a way sort of show off maybe some of those desserts that don't always make it to our table. But here's the thing. Sometimes it can get a little challenging to think about having that big, wonderful dessert right in front of us, but you know, that's a call for us to gather more of our loved ones around the table to share in that dessert. And would we agree that, especially as United Methodists and Christians in general, we do great work around the table. So please use this as an invitation to sit around the table today after service for our soup and dessert auction. Let me go with Linda real quick, Bev, and then I'll jump right to you.
It's about that.
Oh, is it about that?
Yeah, real quick, I just want to say I've been down there and I checked out the soups too, and they look really, really good. So you need to check that out too. You
and
need
by,
to come to
by
eat
check
soup.
Them out, she meant taste.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Linda.
I'm up here again to talk about Lent devotionals. They're on the clipboards again today. This is your last chance to sign up. Hopefully by this time next Sunday, they'll be at the printers getting printed so that we'll have them in time for the prayer vigil, which happens on Ash Wednesday, and perhaps even for the pancake supper the night before. Also in your bulletin, you see prayer vigil sign-up sheets are on the clipboards this week, but they aren't. We thought we'd get done signing up for the Lenten devotionals first, and so prayer vigil sheets will be on for next Sunday and the next two Sundays to sign up for that. If you're not familiar with it, we'll talk about more about it next Sunday, but it's a chance for you to be in the sanctuary all by yourself in half-hour segments, just you and God, to talk about or deal with whatever you need to deal with. There's 48 slots. Half-hour slots starting at 7 o'clock Tuesday, Shrove Tuesday, and going through until the Ash Wednesday service starts. Really powerful experience if you've not done it before. And so, but we'll talk more about that. I'm just letting you know they aren't on the clipboards this week, but will be next week and the following 2 weeks. Thank you.
Linda, anyone else? No? Any birthdays that we're celebrating this week? No birthdays? Any anniversaries? Do you have something, or is that just, that was a moment of hallelujah, poor Shelver. Thank you for that. Anyone else? No? Okay, we don't have any birthdays, anniversaries. Let's go ahead and hand things over to our talented choir to lead us and guide us and prepare a spot for us to start in worship today. Please stay in that spirit of prayer and join me for the Lord's blessing on our gathering together today. Almighty and gracious God, would you find us today with a place welcome for you and our hearts open and receptive to your guidance. Lord, today we've come to celebrate, to praise, and to worship. Fill this space with your Holy Spirit, Lord, in us, around us, beside us, behind us. Let us feel your presence. Let us come expectant today, Lord, that you will work in a magnificent way, in a unique way, in a powerful way. Would you take joy in all the words that you hear today, Lord, as we celebrate the goodness of our God through our relationship. And it's in his name, in Jesus, we seal this prayer. Amen. All right. Would you please stand if you're able today, and we will begin by singing, if you're, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, number 526. Please stand if you're able. Number 526, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. And as we find our seats today, when we think of that moment, how often, maybe more often than we would like, we are burdened or we have suffered needlessly because trying to figure things out in our own way, in our own mind, our own thinking, our own skills and talents, and not taking it to the Lord in a genuine, sincere moment of prayer. We can give the Lord control over how we go about the trials in our life and the situations if we simply surrender it to the Lord in prayer before we move forward. Let us also, when we find our seats today, we can stay seated for singing this song of our faith, and it reminds us of those moments of suffering, and they become glorified because of the great work of Christ on the cross. Can we sing together The Old Rugged Cross, number 504?
Thank you.
Amen. What a powerful and deep song of our faith. And in this moment, I'd just like to draw us, before we continue on to that moment in verse 4, the second line, when it's already coming from a place of being true to what the cross represents, what the cross means, and the boundless love that flows from it. It said that shame and reproach gladly bear. That means that there will be a suffering. There won't be a shame in some of the contexts we know of it, but sometimes the world will look upon it a little bit differently than we do when we realize that it comes from a place of grace, mercy, and trust. So as we cherish that cross and all it is true, will we pray for the strength and the conviction to stand before this world unashamed and unafraid of the love that comes from that cross. Let's move forward today to our children's time. Do we have any kids with us up today? You guys want to come on up? All right. We are thankful that you're here with us today, and we can see you coming with those light-up shoes, can't we? You guys coming? All right. Miss Paul, are you coming up too? Oh, okay. We're just gonna you're the bearer of the flag today. All right, that sounds great. Well, kids, thank you so much for coming up today. I hope that you had a great week since we last saw each other. You know, one of the things that we're looking to do this year is not only to celebrate together, our cherished time together, but also to understand the power of Scripture. Now, when we go downstairs, there's a lesson that's prepared, right? And sometimes we have different crafts, and we have different stories, we have different pages, and a lot of different ways that we're meant to understand exactly what Scripture is telling us, right? What the Bible says. But it's important that not only we understand what the Bible says, but that we remember what the Bible says, right? Mm-hmm. Almost every night. Wow. Yeah. Oh. Uh-oh. So she thought maybe it was lost, huh? Isn't that a beautiful thing that you've been able to read that a little bit? It becomes a little bit more familiar, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. You're finding a lot of neat things in the Bible that are being revealed to you, right? I think it's kind of a lesson for all of us that might have been the side lesson, right? That there is a lot there when you pick up Scripture and get into it. There are a lot of things there for us to find and to treasure together. Do you guys remember the verse that we've been working on this month? You remember what it is? Can you say that again? And do you remember where that comes from? Hmm? Comes from an Old Testament book, doesn't it? Psalm, right? Right? 56. So we're listening to that scripture verse, and it's going to navigate us through the next month. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. So what happens when we don't know the answer to any question, any problem? We're going to trust in God, right? If we don't maybe know if someone's a friend or they're still a stranger on there, you know, when we meet new people, right? Of course, we listen to our parents, but in school, when we're around our classmates, we don't know what's going on with people that we might be sitting next to. We trust in God, right? That God will see us through it. Mm-hmm. You know everyone. I am not surprised that you know everyone in your classroom. I think that's a good thing, isn't it? Even your teacher knows who you are? Oh, but that's a good thing, though, right? Oh, so she already had you, right? So it's kind of to get a chance to reconnect. Well, that's a good thing, to reconnect with people that we know and love. Let's go ahead and pray for us to continue to trust in Jesus and everything that we say and we do, okay? Can we do that? Can we get our prayer positions? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and fold our hands. And can you guys say these words after me? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us and letting us trust in you. Lord, we don't like to be afraid. So help us to not be afraid. Bless our time downstairs and bless everyone gathered here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, Miss Paula is the standard bearer today. She brought the flag over. Can you guys stand up and she'll figure out who can lead us downstairs today? Fantastic. Everybody fall in line, right? March down. You won't lose your way. All right. We're thankful for our kids and their opportunity to learn downstairs. And it's one of those moments when we see them go down. There's so many of them involved, as well as more that are numerous that participated in our VBS. And since that's what our fundraiser after service today, the dessert auction will be doing, it's because of that promise and that hope that we continue on in ministry in those young people's lives. So we're thankful for them being with us this morning and the ways that they will continue to participate in the life of the church and grow their faith through those type of activities. Could we gather together in this moment? Because we have oftentimes come together as the church, both as individuals and as corporately as we gather together in worship. We think of the power of prayer. And in this moment in worship, not only are we worship and praising, but there's an opportunity for us to pray several times when we are gathered together. It's so many things for us to have a strong prayer life, but in the life of our church, to not only have prayers that mean several things, but a tradition of ours is to say the Lord's Prayer together, to say it as often as we gather together. And that's important because we're remembering a prayer that was inspired by our Savior's words. When we call out and wonder how to do things in this world, how do we go about things, Christ? One of the things that Jesus makes very clear, and this prayer is inspired by, is Jesus' response when we call out as faithful disciples. How is it we're supposed to pray so it be sincere and it touches lives? It opens our spaces and our hearts to be changed in the presence of the Lord to be there. Could we please say together, would you join me in this opportunity for prayer, that we can say together as our tradition, as one body and one voice, we lift up these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Anthem. Linda, you'll lead us a bit into that.
You see the name of the anthem in your bulletin, Are Ye Able? As a kid, some people who are probably my age or older are probably very familiar with this particular hymn tune, but it hasn't been used in the church, I think, that much recently. For me as a kid, it was always my favorite hymn. And when I tried to analyze why, and this is maybe a advertisement for Karen's write up for us to write up our favorite hymn. I haven't done it yet, but I plan to, because this, as a kid, was my favorite hymn because I fell in love with the tune. When I find a favorite hymn, it's always the tune I fall in love with first. And then as I hum it to myself and then start singing the words in my mind, I start learning the words. And so when it has powerful words along with that tune, it kind of becomes my favorite tune. And so for those of you, I remember in the fall when I mentioned something about this being my favorite hymn as a kid, and the pastor wasn't even familiar with it. He's a lot younger than I am. He's younger than my kids even. I kind of felt God telling me to pick it out and do the choir anthem of it. So Are Ye Able? One of my favorite hymns as a kid. I have to watch it when I sing the anthem because they've changed the words a little bit, and I know them in my mind as I knew it as a kid. And if I stop to think about it, I could probably still pretty much get through all four verses without words. But my favorite anthem is, or my favorite hymn as a kid, we're now going to sing to you as an anthem. Thank you.
Are you?
As Linda shared with us in the choir, finds their seats, it's interesting how those special songs, they take hold of our hearts and they never really let go. And it's the great songs of our faith that we really need to open our hearts to let them get a hold of us and give voice to some of the things that we know in our hearts to believe from Scripture. In these moments, there are a lot of things that are leading up to the Scripture that we have a little bit today, and there's been a focus on the suffering, there's been a focus on the cross and on being crucified together. And it's an interesting moment with our Lent season beginning so early this year that we transition. We don't have a whole lot of time this year in between Advent and our season of Lent. And it's, so it's interesting in these moments when we take a look at how important it is that we don't forget those powerful, maybe not so much easy, but simple truths of why we are gathered together today. Weekly, we find ourselves, for the most part, in this place together, together in this church for worship. As I said before earlier today, that we gather together in praise, gather together in prayer. We gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ, of people of faith, and we gather together, and all of us should desire to be lifelong learners, right? We should all every day understand that we don't know it all, we don't have all the knowledge, that there are many things that we can still learn. So to be lifelong learners. And while it's obviously the prayer of everyone here, I think, everyone included, not just the pastor, that we're all learning something about how to grow our faith and how to deepen our relationship with Christ on a daily basis. But when we gather together for worship, there is a hope and there's a desire that we do learn some things, right? That we put things in that didn't make sense before or looked at it in a different way or just revealed something that we were uncertain about. But so often when we find ourselves gathered together in this place, maybe more than learning, it's just simply remembering. To remember. As shared before when we heard about the anthem that was being sung today, it was because remembering it meant something so powerful as a young person, and it's still so powerful now. To remember when we say the Lord's Prayer, to remember those words, because from this afternoon all the way till next week, hopefully we're using the Lord's Prayer in a holy manner throughout the week, but until we come next week, that's a long time. That's 7 days for us to remember, Lord, please allow me to forgive those who may have asked for my forgiveness or not, but Lord, let me enter your presence in prayer with clean hands, that I would dust myself off and clean off some of these blemishes with your blood and wash them away before I come into a moment and seek your praise and to seek your blessing on my life. To remember it is that we would submit ourselves and our will to God's will. Those are just those moments when we seek to remember as often as we come and we do these things together. Worship and praise. We come together as disciples of Christ to remember Jesus' life, Jesus' death, and Jesus' resurrection. Let me say that again. It's a simple thing that we can all stand on, that we come together today and every other day to remember the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. It's a simple sentence. It could probably fit on a poster, on a note card, on a bumper sticker, a business card. But would you agree to live remembering Jesus' life, death, and resurrection isn't always the easiest of things to accomplish or to execute? That even for a half day, living up to that standard is very, very difficult to follow through on. And that's why we are gathered together today, so we can witness and celebrate the power and might of our God in our lives, that we can remember and celebrate the way God's been faithful in our lives, that today we can live in anticipation of what the Lord will continue to do today and how the Lord's faithfulness will be revealed to us tomorrow. Today we're going to look at the third chapter of Philippians, a portion of the scripture there. And I'm going to start a little bit earlier than verse 7. It's going to be in the midst of verse 4. And when we look at this spot, and verse 4, it reveals a lot of who Paul was. This is a great contributor to the New Testament of who Paul was. And it's important that we baseline that, because seeing who Paul was, we see then unzipped Paul's great desire to not be who Paul was, who Paul was born in man's sense to be, but desiring who Paul wants to be. This is a focus of who Paul wants to be, and it can be wise for us to look at this today when we look at how we view ourselves. Not just literally in the mirror, but figuratively, how we view ourselves. What is the measurement, the standard in which we view ourselves? How do we decide when someone asks us if it was a good day or not? I mean, don't we have a criteria to decide how am I going to respond to that? Do you feel good? Do you feel healthy? How about when we're recovering and somebody says, are you feeling a little bit better? What's our criteria? What does better mean, right? Somebody's better is down here because they were here, but my better is kind of up here. So how do we determine what that is? And this is an important thing because what Paul's saying is that there was a life for me apart from Christ. And that's not who I want to be anymore. I want to be who Christ wants me to be. I want to be in union with Christ. That's who I desire to be. In this moment, let us read from chapter 3. We are those who worship in the Spirit of God, this is in verse 4, and boast in Christ Jesus, yet have no confidence in the flesh. Even though I too have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone has reason to be confident in the flesh, I, Paul, have more. Verse 5, circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as the law, a Pharisee. Verse 6, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, and to the righteousness under the law, I've been found blameless. Here in verse 7, though, Paul says, yet whatever gains I've had, these I have come to regard as simply loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as lost because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish or trash in order that I may gain Christ. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, one that comes simply from the law, but one that comes through faith in Jesus, the righteousness of God that is based on faith. It's rooted there. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in death. And finally, in verse 11, Paul writes, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. There are a lot of things here we'll be looking at this morning. Knowing Jesus as Lord surpasses all the things that Paul has accomplished. And this is important because it's a quick character study on one of those moments of, have you ever engaged in that conversation or heard it, or maybe even just heard it portrayed, is the my dad stronger than your dad? Or my mom's prettier than your mom? You know, one of those kind of things where you try to one-up each other, right? Well, I hear that, but my so-and-so is better than yours because of this. And you lay out proof, right? And then the other person gets kind of like, well, let me tell you why this trumps yours. And it goes on and on and on. In these moments, Paul's saying that if any of you have reason to boast in your life, if any of you have reason to say, I know best that I am on the right path because of my own sake, there is a confidence that you have in and of yourself aside from Christ, apart from Christ. Nobody else really has more of a claim of being on the right path outside of Christ than Paul. Because what Paul's saying here is that he's done all the, he's born from a lineage, right, that would literally be looking at being an elite person. And so you have all this upbringing, and you have these moments of circumcision in your heritage. So it was born in a way where if Paul just followed the red carpet that was rolled out in front of him, you would attain this great spot in social life because you were literally born into this life. I mean, you were a pure blood, right, in these moments. And so Paul's saying if anyone has a right to claim that they are righteous outside of the work of Christ, you would find no more than me because I am qualified under the law to be blessed in this way. Yet when he runs down his, I'm better than most and nobody can lay a claim to this other than me, he then says in verse 7, yet whatever gains I had, I regard them as loss because of Christ. Everything is surpassed by the value of knowing Christ. So what Paul's saying here is that for all I have, in this moment too, understand that Paul's writing this, right? Paul's writing this moment of privilege, this loss from prison. So here's this letter coming, right? Now imagine this, again, scenario, right? That it doesn't matter what if you've ever experienced a prison cell before or not, but in this moment, you don't know what your future holds. You don't know what's going to happen today, let alone tomorrow, if it's going to be years in this place. You don't know if you're going to lose your life. You don't know if you're going to lose your voice, if you're going to be tortured. But in this moment, he's writing this letter of encouragement. So here's Paul saying, for all these things and all these benefits and all these things that were heaped upon me and these successes I had, remember, in prison, captive, at the mercy of his captors, Paul says, I don't want those things and what that life led to. What I want is what suffering brings me. Can you almost hear in a way that you can hear kind of the him strung along the bars or maybe the chains in the background noise of saying that? I would rather continue, ting, 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 to suffer, ting, 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 in this place than to inherit anything that's apart from Christ. Ting, ting, ting. And it's an interesting for us today to look at this because, well, and hopefully this will make a little bit of sense to some of you when I get there, but I promise I'll make it quick. I was a big fan when I was a kid of professional wrestling, right? And I know it might be silly to some people, but, you know, they were these larger-than-life figures, you know, and the bigger you were, like, the more matches you won, you know, and they would always say the cool things, and they would have these great, bright outfits, you know, and there's even this one guy named Hulk Hogan, right? He would tear his shirt. I mean, he was so strong, he could tear his shirt. I remember as a kid just tearing away at shirts, and they would never rip, you know. I didn't understand the secret, you know, and so I was very dismayed when I found out the secret, by the way. So I have all these stretched out t-shirts, you know, and my mom's upset with me and things like that. Those are good school shirts, Matt. And so here's these moments of, I love these professional wrestlers. And so when Hulk Hogan would tell me to do things, right, he would say to say your prayers and eat your vitamins and work out, brother, and all these things. And like, I was just like, yes, I'm going to be just like Hulk Hogan when I get up. And so I had the toys and the box and everything like that. So I really looked up to Hulk Hogan because he had it all, right? He had it all. He had all the things that I thought I really wanted to have as being a kid. And so I kind of moved away from professional wrestling now, you know, but there's still sometimes those triggers. Do you know that sometimes when you hear a name or you hear a song or something, you're like, oh? Have you ever been there in that moment where sometimes maybe you've liked MASH or a show like that and you hear it on TV land and with those helicopters sound, you're like, oh, wait a minute, I know what that is. So sometimes when I hear his name or hear him talk or something like that, I'll ping a little bit and be like, oh, I recognize that. Well, there was a show that came out a few years ago, a reality show called Hogan Knows Best. And I thought, if Hulk Hogan knew what to tell me as a kid, I thought he's going to have a lot of wisdom to tell me how to navigate this adult thing. And so I tuned into this thing for a second to see what it was all about, you know. Boy, did I realize that they had that title wrong. Hogan does not know best. I'm not even sure if Hogan knows mediocre. Now, of course, it was a reality show, so there's a lot of things that go in with that. And it's all to say, Paul is qualified to know best of how to live a life of faith. Just as I thought Hulk Hogan was qualified to tell me how to attain everything that I thought I wanted in this life. Paul is saying that for all of those things, I don't know best. And my dear friends, I challenge us because how many times have we maybe even said when somebody else wants to give advice about a spouse or about our children, right? Who wants to give advice about the children? And then what's our response sometimes? Even if we don't say it, we might think it. Well, I know my children best. I know so-and-so best. Or I know what their best interests are. Or I know best. And so often we're in the United States, so we're in this moment where it's kind of like we are free to do our own thing, right? To there's a certain pride into figuring it out ourselves and going our own way. And sometimes I wonder if we get the false hope in our own society that we do know best. Paul's reminding us here that it doesn't matter what carpet is laid out in front of you, what benefits you've had, what family you've been born into, what circumstances surround you, no matter how good you are, and we can list down, just as Paul did, all the things that qualify us to know best, we don't. All those things can contribute, but all the things that we know, all the things that we are, all the accomplishments we've had, whether it's before knowing Christ or after knowing Christ. I'm not trying to dismiss our lives of faith or anything that we've literally done or gained or enhanced since knowing Christ. Maybe it was revealed from Christ. All of those things, some translations even say, are trash. Are trash. That's how far below they are surpassing knowing Christ. Can we see that's different than knowing Christ? How do we know someone unless we spend time with them? Would you agree? We can read all about them, right? I'll go back to my Hogan reference there. I knew all about Hulk Hogan. I could tell you how big his biceps were, where he was raised, who his mama's name was, all that kind of stuff. But I didn't really know him. I spent time with him. There's some family members that lived in a different state. I met him, but I didn't really know him. We didn't spend time with him. My dear friends, this is a call for us to understand if we know that we don't really know best, we have to spend time with God to realize what God's best is for us. Do we remember in Scripture that Jesus says that I've come that you would live life abundantly, not that you would have less, that you would have more, that you would have more than any U-Haul truck of spirituality could ever be full of? Then we'll bring another empty, U-Haul over to the place. It will always be more than you can ever hope to imagine, that you could ever number. Life abundantly means that there's more than enough. There's more than enough to give away. There's more than enough to bring to. Jesus says, I am here so that you will live life abundantly. And here's this moment when Paul says about everything being everything falling below knowing Christ. Now, he found righteousness in the law, but he wanted the kind that was through his own faith. Now remember in prison, this moment is what he's saying. I want to know Christ. He didn't say, I want to be free. I hope better for you. I want to put my own mask on in the airplane, right? I want to know Christ more than I want to be out of the cell. Ding, 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 ding. More than I want prosperity for my loved ones, I want to know Christ. Ding, 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 ding. More than I want my own dreams to come true for my family, I want to know Christ. Ding, 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 ding. My dear friends, this is a call for us from Paul, who gets a lot of credit for his submissions here and in these moments of regarding the church as family. This particular translation said rubbish. The power of Christ's sufferings. Paul is suffering. Have you ever suffered for the sake of Christ? Maybe you're suffering right now. Maybe it is right now. And it took all we had to pull ourselves up here and to worship together, because we know that bigger than our situation, more vast, more surpassing than the situation we are dealing with right now in this place, is God in our life. Knowing God is bigger than that problem, that issue, that situation, that circumstance, that misunderstanding, that health situation, that financial difficulty, that lack of understanding. This devotion, my dear friends, prepares us in our lives to understand that even in my own life, in my own house, Matt does not know best. And I hope you would join me there in that place, saying that in your own lives, in your own homes, where you get your mail delivered, where you work, your nameplate might be on the outside of your office. That's your office. In our lives, we still don't know best. But we do try to get better, don't we? Because even if we don't know best, if Christ knows best, there are some times we have to make decisions, don't we? And we have to follow through in our life while we're waiting for that revelation of Christ. But in this moment, are we seeking, in the midst of this, whether we're going through something or we're not particularly going through something, in this season, whether we're in a spot and it seems very overwhelming, or whether we're not in a spot, things are actually seeming pretty good. I'd sign up for another month like this, right? Had those moments? Are we still seeking Christ in those moments? To give Christ the glory for those moments? I tell you what, when you're drowning, what you want is a breath, don't you? So when you have time to breathe, right, and you're able to tread non-threatening waters, then we need to give praise, because it wasn't too long ago where we were in those dangerous waters taking on that water in our lungs and our boat, and we were struggling to stay afloat. Hopefully that wasn't lost on any of you. But my dear friends, I know we've said it before, what happens when we're sick? Don't we just hope for that day when we wake up and we're not sick anymore, that we can talk normal, that we can breathe the right way, that we don't have to cough and do those things? Well, what about right now? I'm not sick. You know what I haven't done up until preparing for this message? I haven't praised God for my health yet today. Usually that's something I do at night. Thank you for the healthy day. But shouldn't I still be thankful now? Shouldn't that go before me now to just like, I am ready to go. I can go downstairs and I can bid on one of those desserts and taste it because I am not sick. Because that's after the service today. Yeah, right? A little announcement within the message today. So in this moment, Paul's asking us to look at the same way he did encouraging the church as he's encouraging us through the reading today. That Paul wants to experience the power of suffering through the resurrection. Oof. Oh, boy. It was sort of a feel-good message for a second until we realized there's power in suffering. Let me ask you this, my dear friends. How will we ever allow a space for Christ to fill if we don't first empty it? How would we ask the Lord and invite him into our lives? How would we, when we say, could you reveal someone in our lives, in our midst, to help us through this situation? What if you don't make space for anybody in your life? Right? Jesus isn't going to crowbar and shove anybody in there. When are we going to release some of those things, right? If we want to have a daily devotional life, if we want to make more time for God, we have to push some things aside. Right? It's not staying up another 10 minutes to try to go through some scripture and look at these things. It's that moment of, how about before we do anything, we might give those first 10 minutes, those first fruits, start our day off in that moment? Or how about in those moments that maybe we can take a less complex lunch, not take our lunch hour, but what about our lunch 40 minutes, and we give those other 20 minutes to God in the midst of our day? It's those simple things where if we prioritize Christ, we survive in that suffering. What are we really losing? Think about all these things. If we have ever suffered for Christ, would you take it back? Would you say, you know what, at the end of it all, when I look past at it, it really wasn't worth it. Jesus isn't who Jesus said he was. We can't say that. We dare not even think that, right? I mean, it feels horrible to even say that in church. But have we ever said, you know what, God, you really weren't with me in any of that. I don't buy it. Jesus, you're not who you said you were because that was worse than what you've promised us through Scripture. Whatever it was, fill in the blank, was more devastating than the promise and hope of everlasting life, and to know that I won't suffer the wages of sin because I'm just not believing that your grace is enough anymore. Oof, man, that still feels hard to say out loud in church, even for its illustration, because it's not true. But if we know that, we don't have to be giddy about suffering. We don't have to be giddy about understanding losses that will be before us. But it's all a lot smaller than what we gain, than what surpasses that suffering into what we gain from the cross. That covers us. We'll never be able to outrun that grace. We'll never be able to overextend that mercy. There is no debt that our sin outrights that cannot be cleared because of the love that flows from the cross. My dear friends, when we think of these moments, I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward. When we also look at our time of giving, our offering, we pass these around. It, of course, is a call to give of the Lord that's already been given to us. But in that moment, how can we ever hope to fill the mission of Christ if we first don't make space and sacrifice for that message? Lord, these gifts that are presented before you, Lord, we give you and submit them to your will. Lord, we know for all the generosity that is here, we cannot outgive you, God. And we are thankful for that. And we know that you challenge us to continue to be faithful in submitting our tithes and our offerings. And Lord, we ask that you would bless the houses from which they came and all the lives that will be touched as this ministry goes forward. Would you be glorified in all that we say and do? And would the name that we are about to seal this prayer in be upon new lips and new hearing of the good news? And it's the words, names, and lips of Jesus that we seal this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. In this moment, we're going to sing together, Leave It There, number 522. And before we do, before we hit the first key on there, Leave It There. It's an interesting moment that this would be such a upbeat song that would lead us forward in sort of mission, right? And so I would hope in this moment that we take the upbeat rhythm to this Leave It There. We understand that this is a moment Paul reminds us today. Do we think of, whether it's for the tithing, when we think of sometimes the 10% that it's given away, or sometimes when we think of our lives, what does it mean to empty out things? What does it mean to suffer from Christ? Here's that moment, it's upbeat, it's Leave It There. Are we focusing on the suffering and what we're giving up, or are we focusing on what we are to gain? Are we focusing in a people of what suffering is going to cost us, or what through that suffering we're going to gain? Are we ones that focus on Good Friday, or are we Easter people? My dear friends, if we are willing to suffer through the loss and the death and the hardships of Christ, then we will inherit the resurrection. Could we sing together the song of our faith to Leave It There? my dear friends, if something is stirred within you today as it stirs within me, is there something that we can do without? Is there a burden that has been placed upon us that we have to carry? It cannot be pushed to anyone else. And can we remember this song in this place that there is a joy, there is a relief, there is a freedom in walking through suffering if we leave our burdens and concerns for what the result will be at the foot of the cross? My dear friends, are we willing to put our lives in the shadow of the cross and leave what I know best there? Leave my own ideas and my own wisdom there, if we trust and never doubt the power of our God? It will not only carry this burden for us, walk with us, and will relieve us and take us into glory in His arms. Could we go forward today and remembering the burden is suffering that we gladly share, and we trust the Lord to walk with us? Could we go now convicted and ready to suffer, Lord, and find a joy in moving things away for the sake of Christ in our lives and in this world? By the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we go.